Robertson, welcoming you to this week's edition of TV Confidential, radio talk show about television that has taken a few days off this week. We'll be back with a brand new edition of the program. Next week, our guests will include legendary impressionist Rich Little. In the meantime, we will devote this week's program to the memory of Peter Marshall. Peter Marshall, master of the Hollywood Squares, and a man who left his mark one way or another on just about every form of entertainment for more than 80 years. Peter Marshall passed away Thursday, August 15th, at the age of 98. We were fortunate enough to speak to Peter Marshall three times here on TV Confidential, including a conversation that we will bring you right now that originally aired in July 2016, in which we talked a little bit about Hollywood Squares, but mostly about Peter's roots in music, his passion for the big band era, his nightclub career, working alongside comedian Tommy Noonan and later Tommy Farrell, his movie career, including kissing Julie Newmar on screen, and the serendipitous moment that led to Peter's first job in radio back in World War II.
Hi, this is Julie Newmar, and you are listening to TV Confidential.
Ed Robertson, welcoming you back to TV Confidential, radio talk show about television, is pleased to welcome the master of the Hollywood Squares, Mr. Peter Marshall. While everyone immediately thinks of Peter as the host of the Hollywood Squares, his career in entertainment spans the worlds of radio, big band music, Broadway musicals, comedy, movies, and live performances. Early in his career, Peter partnered with comedian Tommy Noonan, appearing in major nightclubs, films, and theaters across the country, as well as numerous times on The Ed Sullivan Show. His stage credits include La Caja Faux, High Button Shoes, Anything Goes, The Music Man, the London production of Bye Bye Birdie, and the Broadway production of Skyscraper with Julie Harris and Charles Nelson Reilly. Today, Peter is heard every day on the Music of Your Life radio network, where he plays the music of the big band era and draws on his vast knowledge of what he considers to be the very best era of American music. We'll ask Peter about that in just a second. But first, Peter Marshall, welcome to TV Confidential.
Yeah, well, thank you very much. I didn't know I did all that stuff. That's very impressive. I'm very impressed with myself today.
Well, that's what I'm here for, too.
You know how many years I've been doing all this stuff? I've been in show business 75 years. It's my 75th year. I turned 90 in March. I got my first job at the age of 15. Mm-hmm. So you add it all up, and I can't believe it's gone so quickly.
It has gone so quickly, but the amazing thing is, if I didn't know you were 90, you do not sound like a man. I mean, you're living embodiment to you're only as old as you sound and as you feel. And you still very much sound like the boy singer, like the youthful, buoyant personality that everyone knows you for.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much. I'm here at Malibu, of all places. My children own this beautiful home in Malibu. Their mother passed away a year ago, December, mm-hmm. and they've got this gorgeous home in Malibu, and I'm renovating our house in Encino. So my kids said, hey, why don't you and Lori, that's my wife, why don't you guys go over and spend a week or so and get away from the smell and the heat of the valley. So I'm talking to you, but I'm overlooking this beautiful coast of Malibu. It's really quite beautiful today. Anyway, I am here and I am happy.
And we're happy that you are here and talking to us, Peter. I forget who said this, but someone once said that the music of the big band era and the Great American Songbook, in many respects, those songs are like the stories in the Bible, because every story you can think of was captured in the music of the big band era, and that's one of the reasons why it continues to endure. What do you think about that?
Yeah, well, they're absolutely right. I feel so badly for the young people today, you know, with this terrible music, and everybody screams. Nobody just sings a song like a Dick Haynes or a Como or a Sinatra, just sing a song. And these wonderful Rodgers and Hart lyrics or Ira Gershwin lyrics, these beautiful melodies like Cole Porter's and Gershwin, and it breaks my heart. My first job was with a band. It was mm-hmm. with the Bob Chester Band out of Detroit. I was 15. And it was very exciting to be traveling all over the country by bus. You know, I was making $50 a week, which in 1941 was a lot of money.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
In fact, it was so good I could send my mother $35 a week. But I got to sing all these beautiful songs. Actually, the Big Band era didn't last that long. The Big Band era was only really maybe 10, 12 years. And then the war came, and after the war we had a lot of country songs, then we had rock and roll and all of that stuff. But it's hanging in there. I do my music if you like. In fact, I do 2 weeks at a time.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm on, when I started Music If You Like some 20 years ago, we had 208 stations. We're down to 37 stations AM, but we're all over the internet.
Yeah.
We're heard in Egypt and Germany, and you know, the big band, the music is very big in England and in Germany. I don't know if you know that. And my friend Jack Jones goes over a couple of times a year, and I was very close to Andy Williams, and Andy would travel over there. It's amazing how Europe is still very aware of that music and very receptive to it. I still do my big band stuff. I've got a couple of I'm doing two concerts up in San Francisco with the Tex-Mex band, and next year I'm doing some stuff with the Benny Goodman band. I'll be at Cerritos. So I still get the taste of it, and it's amazing how many people come to these concerts. You know, 1,100, 1,200 people at the theaters all, and we sell out. So it's still around.
It's still around, and there's a reason. I mean, there has to be a reason, Peter, why a lot of artists from different. I mean, I'm just thinking Rod Stewart off the top of my head, but he's one of many examples of artists from another genre, you know, rock and roll, who so one way or another they come back to the songs of that era. So that has to speak to the appeal of those songs and one of the reasons why it continues to endure from one generation to another.
Well, you know, on my show I'll have Sting. He does the Great American Song with John McCartney, mm-hmm. you know. It's amazing how many... Now Rod Stewart has had a whole second career doing the Great American Songbook.
Yeah, you know.
So he did it badly, but but Sting is pretty good, by the way, yeah. And McCartney's not bad. But Sting of all of them, what's the guy's name? Boss Gags.
Boss Gags. Yeah.
Boss Gags sings our music wonderfully well.
Mm-hmm.
He has an album out that is a knockout where he does, you know, all these beautiful things and What's New and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, so they do have an appreciation for our music, and they record it, and some of them do it quite well.
Yeah, we recently had Tony Tennille on our program a couple weeks ago, Peter, and I know that Tony Tennille from Captain and
Jack happens to be one of the best singers around.
Yeah.
It's amazing that she hasn't done, you know, better because I play her all the time.
Mm-hmm.
She's a terrific singer, Tony Tennille.
She is. That era of music is very deep in her soul. So various artists will go to it. Some people, it connects to it. It connects to it better. That kind of speaks to another question I want to ask you. It has to do. I mean, there are a lot of these songs. I mean, can you mention that you still perform? You've got the shows coming up in San Francisco later on, and also down here in Los Angeles. Now, there are songs I'm sure you performed 1,000 times before throughout your life, but the key, and you know this, is, you know, even if you've sung, like, As Time Goes By, for example, even if you've sung that, like, 50,000 times, when you sing it live, it's as if you're singing it for the very first time. What's the secret? How do you do that?
I don't know. You just listen to these beautiful lyrics. You know, it's stuff like I've been doing You'll Never Know and The More I See You for many, many years. And the effect to the people, it's quite wonderful. Once in a while, I'll do a benefit. I have an album out called Boy Singer, where I recorded it at Capitol Records with 36 of the best musicians in the world. I have a CD of just the music, and I'll do a benefit, and they can't afford an orchestra or anything. But I'll put the CD on and I'll sing to it, and I'll do, like, The More I See You and You'll Never Know is a medley I do, dedicated to Dick Haymes, who was my mentor.
Mm-hmm.
And people, I look at them and they just, as the lights go back up, they're in tears. It's amazing the effect that this music has on people, especially older people.
Mm-hmm.
And even the young, you know, I see more and more younger people come to my concerts, which is lovely. And when I do my radio show, I said, please, if you have young people around you, your young children or nieces or nephews or grandchildren, try to introduce them to this music, because it's melodically it's beautiful and lyrically it's just quite wonderful. You know, you're never going to find the Johnny Mercers and the Larry Hart. Lorenz Hart was my favorite, I think, and Mercer, Larry. But I mean, Cole Porter not only wrote this beautiful music, but these beautiful lyrics. And Irving Berlin, who I guess he's the most prolific songwriter we ever had. It was a guy who was born in Russia.
Mm-hmm.
But you listen to Berlin, everything is so simple. I'll be loving you always with a love that's true. All, you know, just simple kind of things. And he captured the simplicity of love. And it's all gone, really. There's no young people around writing this kind of stuff.
There may not be young people writing this kind of stuff right now, but you are speaking as someone whose parents introduced him to the music of the big band era. Because when I was growing up, my mother had a little radio in the kitchen, and there were two stations, one on AM, one on FM, and they both played big band, and my mother loved listening to that kind of stuff. And so when I was maybe 9 or 10, it may not have been my first choice, but it kind of stays with you. And when I hear it today, I not only enjoy the music of its own, but, and this is the wonder of radio, and you know this as well as anybody else, Peter, because it brings you back to memories of your mother introducing you to
Oh, absolutely. I listen to Seriously Sinatra in the car, of course, because I can't get music of your life. but I'll listen to Seriously Sinatra, and I'll hear something like Indian Summer, and it takes me back to my high school days, or back in West Virginia. I can remember the girl I was dating. I'm a West Virginia boy. I was my dad passed when I was 10, and my mom and my sister Joanne went to New York, and when they had enough money, they sent for me. I was 12, and I would go from New York back to West Virginia to see my grandmother, who I adored. But music conjures up all these wonderful memories. But I don't know what kids are going to be reminiscing about today with today's music. It's just so bloody terrible.
Well, that is a subject for another conversation. We're talking to Peter Marshall, master of the Hollywood Squares. Peter is heard every day on the Music of Your Life radio network, playing big band music and sharing his insights into the music of that era. Peter's website, by the way, is boysinger.com, where if you haven't heard it before, you can order a copy of Peter's CDs. He has a couple of CDs, one of which you just recorded a few years ago. I think it's called Let's Be Frank.
Let's Be Frank with a Touch of Tommy. What I did, I recreated all the old Sinatra Dorsey hit.
Mm-hmm.
I recreated the Pied Pipers and Joe Stafford. I got Calabria Fodi, wonderful singer. She does all the Joe Stafford stuff and the duets I do. Yeah, and then her husband is a great trombone player.
Mm-hmm.
He does the Tommy Dorsey stuff. And I have strings, and it's a beautiful house. I get these phenomenal reviews, and it's done very well, believe it or not, in Japan. It does well in Japan, it does well in England, but nobody, they don't play it here, you know. It's so strange.
Well,
anyway, but people say, why are you spending all this money for these CDs? You're never going to get the money back. I said, because it's a legacy for my kids and my grandkids. I have 12 grandchildren, I have 7 great-grandchildren, mm-hmm. so they'll be able to hear the old grandpa, you know. And it's for them, really, and the people who I adore who love me and like the way I sing.
Well, I'm going to add another review, unsolicited review, folks. I've heard clips of Let's Be Frank, and you sound fabulous. You sound fabulous. We're talking to Peter Marshall, master of the Hollywood Squares. This conversation with Peter originally aired in July 2016. Peter Marshall passed away Thursday, August 15th, at the age of 98. I forget who said this to me, but we're speaking about singing, and she said, if you don't practice your gift of singing, you will lose it. So obviously the fact that you have sung all of your life, it's there, and you're in fine form.
Yeah, I'm singing well. I really am. I'm singing as well as in my 90s as I did in my teens. Maybe better. I don't know. I have no idea why, except I sing all the time. I love music, and I sing, and my kids laugh at me, I'm a lucky guy. I'm blessed in so many ways with wonderful children and grandchildren, and I have the best wife there ever was, dear friend. My problem, the problem with aging, you don't get around as well as you used to, but it's losing friends.
Yeah.
And that is just so sad. You know, I lost Andy Williams a couple of years ago, and I don't know if you know who Frankie Randall was.
The name rings a bell.
Yeah, a wonderful pianist and singer. I just lost Frankie last year, and he was my closest friend. And that's what happens. You lose all your dear friends, and it breaks your heart.
Well, I understand the loss. I'm sorry for the loss, but the flip side, so to speak, and not to be light about it, is that you meet new people, and that also is what keeps you young and keeps you going. You know, it's not just through your family and your grandchildren, but you know, through other people who discover you and discover your music and learn about your gift of song that they may not have known about before.
Well, thank you.
Yes, I know there's not a question in there, but it's more of a compliment. But. Just doing a little homework on you, Peter. There have been a number of serendipitous moments throughout your life where, I mean, right place, right time, and if you weren't there, you know, maybe it wouldn't have happened the way it actually did. One such example is the story of your very first job in radio, which I understand came about when you were in World War II, and you came across an actor in Italy that you had first met a couple of years before when you began as a page at NBC in New York. Do you remember that story?
I remember. I went over as a replacement, you know, in the artillery. I was a forward observer, and I'm walking down Via Roma one day. And before I joined the Chester Band, I had been an usher at 14 at the Paramount Theater.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was a page boy at NBC. I was 15. And there was an actor by the name of John Raby. This was radio.
Mm-hmm.
And this is New York, by the way, NBC in New York.
Mm-hmm.
And I hear, hey, my real name is Lecoq. Hey, Lecoq. I turn around, it's John Raby, and he's the captain. And he said, John, gosh, good, blah, blah, blah. And what's happening? I said, well, they're sending us over to Manila because we're going to invade Japan. This is before the end ball. And he said, No. He said, I'm the head of INE here. He said, I have two openings. You can be a writer. I need a reporter on the Stars and Stripes, which is the Army newspaper. I said, I don't spell that well. And he said, or you can be a disc jockey here in Naples. I said, I can run a board, which they taught me at NBC.
Mm-hmm.
So I was a private. They made me a sergeant. I was 18 years old. And I ran a 50,000-watt station out of Naples for almost 2 years. That was my Army career. And not only that, I was every weekend I would go to Capri because I was dating a Red Cross girl.
Mm-hmm.
So my Army career, it took me ages to get over it, to get back to civilian life. I had such a wonderful Army career.
Yeah.
I lived this lovely life in Naples. In fact, when the war ended, I would fly up on mats, which is an Army, these crazy civilian. They were like 21, 22-year-old pilots from
mm-hmm.
Harsh Task. We'd
mm-hmm.
fly up to Milan, and then I'd take a train into Lugano, and we'd go skiing. I mean, my life overseas was just ridiculously wonderful. And I've had this charmed life. It's amazing. But, yeah, that's where I got into radio.
Well,
in fact, when I came home, they offered me all these radio shows because I was quite popular
mm-hmm.
in Europe. And I said, no, I want to see people. I want to work in front of people. I don't know how you heard that story, but that's the true story right there.
I think it's very cool that one of your first jobs was in radio. One of the first skills you learned at NBC as a page was, you know, radio and learning how to run a board. And fast forward, you know, X number of years later, you know, you're doing radio today. That's kind of
yeah, nice. Back on radio.
Yeah,
it's the whole Laurent, as they say.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. We're talking to Peter Marshall, 5-time Emmy Award-winning host of the Hollywood Squares, and a man who has conquered just about every genre of entertainment imaginable. This conversation with Peter originally aired in July 2016. Peter Marshall passed away Thursday, August 15, at the age of 98. We'll take a quick time out. We'll play more of our conversation with Peter Marshall when we come back on TV Confidential. One more item. Are you starting a company in an emerging market or developing something new? Do you have intellectual property but aren't sure how to protect it? reach out to our friends at Tectonic Law. They offer rock-solid representation for groundbreaking industries who need help capturing and protecting their full portfolio of intellectual property and intangible assets, including trademark rights, brand assets, copyright rights, publicity rights, and privacy rights. Tectonic Law streamlines the complex intricacies of intellectual property and business law in easy-to-understand terms that will help you and your company form a concrete plan of action to secure and protect the value of your brand and your creative work product. Tectonic Law is licensed to practice throughout the state of California. They also practice before such tribunals as the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office and the Internet Corporation for assigned names and numbers. Go to tectoniclaw.com, tectoniclaw.com, to learn more about how Tectonic Law can help your business thrive. Tectoniclaw.com, rock solid representation for groundbreaking industries.
This portion of TV Confidential is brought to us by our friends at Front Porch Realty, the community of realtors in the Northern Bay area of California that is committed to finding the solution that is best for their clients. Whether you're a first-time home buyer or looking to sell or lease your property in Northern California, call Karen Strain at 415-886-7411 or visit frontporchrealtygroup.com. For more information on how they can help you.
If you're a fan of Mike Connors, if you're a fan of Mannix, be sure to check out Mike Connors, A Life of Integrity in Film and Television by Bill Taylor, an excellent new book that not only tells you everything you want to know about the life and career of Mike Connors, but captures the utter decency of Mike Connors, the person. Mike Connors, A Life of Integrity in Film and Television, available now wherever books are sold through our friends at Bear Manor Media. You can also find it Amazon.com, BarnesNoble.com, wherever books are sold online.
Hi, this is Tony Camille, and you are listening to TV Confidential.
Ed Robertson, welcoming you back to TV Confidential, radio talk show about television that this week is a radio talk show about Peter Marshall. Peter Marshall, master of the Hollywood Squares, and a man who left his mark one way or another on just about every form of entertainment for more than 80 years. Peter Marshall passed away Thursday, August 15th, at the age of 98. Some of you may know that Peter wrote a book called Backstage with the Hollywood Square, which is filled with great stories about his years hosting the Hollywood Squares and the people who made it possible. You can find Backstage at the Hollywood Square at Amazon.com. Peter Marshall's own website is boysinger.com. I want to ask you a little bit about work in nightclubs, because both when you were performing with Tommy Noonan and later with Tommy Farrell in the 50s, and then when you were performing on your own with the Peter Marshall Review in the 60s and 70s, it was a different era of nightclubs. I mean, clubs were a lot more intimate. I mean, they're smaller, they're intimate. The audience had a chance to bond more with the performers, and the performers had a chance to play off the audience more, and that's gone today. I mean,
yeah, it really has. When I, you got to remember, there's no television when I started. Mm-hmm. So you worked every week. I teamed up with Tommy. He was John Ireland's brother, and mm-hmm. John Ireland was then married, going with my sister, and they finally married the actress Joanne Drew, mm-hmm. my sister, mm-hmm. was my sister, God love her.
Yes.
That was one of the great loves of my life. Anyway, we teamed up it's a long story I won't bore you with, but we got together, and the next thing you know, we're working continually. As an example, I worked for a year solid in L.A. We started at Billy Gray's Bandbox, then we went to the Biltmore Bowl, then we went to the Crescendo, and the Larry Potter's, and Charlie Foy's. There were clubs everywhere. And a year later, we're starring in New York at the Martinique. And it was amazing what happened with the act. It was a very successful act. Next to Dean and Jerry, we were like the biggest, especially on the West Coast. Mm-hmm. We were huge.
Mm-hmm.
And we broke up, not because we had an argument or anything. We were both signed to do A Gentleman Before Blondes,
mm-hmm.
At Fox. And Daryl Zanuck, who ran the studio, was in New York, and he saw another actor, not realizing they had signed the two of us.
Mm-hmm.
So they paid me off, and then Tommy, of course, played opposite Marilyn Monroe in Gentleman Before Blondes. And then he got very hot. And then we broke up for a couple of years, and I teamed up with Tommy Farrell.
Mm-hmm.
And then we were offered the Tropicana when it opened. they said, if you guys get back together, we'll give you a contract for almost a year. So we did that. Then we did a motion picture. Then I was offered to go to London with Cheetah Rivera to do Bye Bye Birdie. And it goes on and on and on. I won't bore you with all the stuff. But it's been a fun career. I've done a lot of stuff. I started out as a singer. I was a comedy act. Then I started doing theater. And then from theater, I got this television thing. And I thought that was 13 weeks. It was turned out to be 16 years. And of all the stuff I've done, that was, I guess, the most successful. But unfortunately, you get categorized in show business. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, you're a game show host. And if anybody said, hey, what do you do for a living? I said, I'm a singer. And that's what I am. I'm a voice singer, and that's what I love doing.
We're talking to Peter Marshall, master of the Hollywood Squares. Peter Marshall's own website is boysinger.com. I want to dovetail a little bit back on working with Tommy, both in clubs and in movies. You mentioned one of the movies you did with Tommy was called The Rookie with Julie Newmar. One of the more famous scenes in that movie, you locked lips with Julie Newmar. What was it like to kiss Julie Newmar?
Oh, kiss Julie Newmar, nothing bad with that. Old gorgeous girl, you know. And we were very young, and she was wonderfully attractive. She still is.
She still is, yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I see her every once in a while. I see Julie.
Mm-hmm.
I've done a lot of things and a lot of beautiful Julie Harris in New York.
Mm-hmm.
Got to kiss Julie Harris. I've worked with a lot of beautiful actresses in my life. But The Rookie, that was a movie that cost $158,000 to do at Fox.
Mm-hmm.
And it kept the studio open. It was a huge success. Noonan and Marshall, we were the hot kids from that movie.
Mm-hmm.
And then we did another movie. It was just god-awful, called Swinging Along. That was with Barbara Eden. I was just on a panel with Barbara. They were just honoring Barbara Eden. And she was my leading lady in that. I think it was one of the first things she ever did.
Mm-hmm.
1959, something like that. Anyway, I just saw the movie recently. I had never seen it because I shot the movie and then went to London.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw it recently. It just got awful. But she was so beautiful and she's so sweet. And I got to kiss Julie Newmar and Barbara Eden. The list goes on.
A few years later, you were part of a great cast in Ensign Pulver, directed by Joshua Logan. I understand Logan was the type of director who didn't give actors a lot of directions. He kind of let you find your way. Was that your experience with him?
He caught me in London, and he said, hey, I'm doing a play on Broadway called All American. He said, I'd love you to do the lead. And I said, I'm very happy here. I have four children in school. I'm at the big hit. I'm not only doing Bye Bye Birdie, but I'm also doing commercials and voiceovers, and I have a beautiful apartment. So he said, well, if you ever hear me doing anything, give me a call. So when I got back, Dick Gaudier is a friend of mine, and I told Dick the story. He said, Josh Logan's doing a movie at Warner Brothers called Ensign Pulver. He said, why don't you give him a call? I called him. He said, come on over. And he opened the script. He said, everything that's underlined has been cast. You can have it in any other part. And so I got to work, you know, with Jack Nicholson was in the movie,
mm-hmm.
Larry Hagman.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a huge, it was a wonderful cast. In fact, Larry and I became good friends. After that, we went to Yugoslavia and Italy to do a terrific movie called The Cavern.
Mm-hmm.
But that's how I got the job, because Josh Logan had caught me in London doing Bye Bye Birdie. He was strange to work with, to be honest with you. I can remember the first scene ever shot is with Walter Matthau and myself.
Mm-hmm.
And we're on deck of a thing, and we're waiting for another ship to come close to us to give movies. And he said, don't go on action. He said, because I'm going to call action, then I got to shoot this thing, and then watch for me to signal, and then that's when you enter. So I'm waiting. There's action, and I'm waiting. And he says, cut. He said, didn't you hear action? I said, well, Josh, you said that. He said, what are you talking about? And Matthau said, you know, I always knew he was a phony. But he was very strange.
Yeah.
Very strange. But he was a very nice man. But anyway, we had so much fun.
Yeah.
We were in Acapulco for like 3 months.
Mm-hmm.
And then with Nicholson and Jimmy Coco and, what, Kay Medford and Diana Sands, and did we have fun? Wow, it was fun. It was a lot of fun.
Bud Bedeker once told me a story about Logan when he was working with Brando in Sayonara. And apparently J.L. Warner walked onto the set, and Logan was letting Brando find himself, you know, and you know what that's like. It could take it took up a lot of film.
And, sure.
And J.L. said, you know, I will never have Logan or Marlon Brando on this studio again. And then, of course, Sayonara made a lot of money, so we changed his mind on that one.
Of course. Yeah, well, I don't think you had to direct Brando too much. Just let him go.
Yes, you just let him go. We're talking to Peter Marshall, 5-time Emmy Award-winning host of the Hollywood Squares and a man who has conquered just about every genre of entertainment imaginable. Peter Marshall passed away Thursday, August 15th at the age of 98. The conversation you're listening to right now originally aired in July 2016. You wrote a wonderful book about your career, about your years on Hollywood Square. There are a lot of great stories in that. One thing I did not know is I didn't realize that Marlon Brando and Wally Cox were great friends.
Oh, they were the best of friends. They were kids together. They were roommates in New York. In fact, Wally wasn't even an actor. He was a jeweler.
Mm-hmm.
He made jewelry. But he used to tell these stories about the war, and he did this one thing on it. Does this guy be too full in New York? And it would entertain all these actors. And Marlon and said, hey, what if you work at a nightclub? And he said, no, I don't want to do that. But they talked him into doing one night at the Village Vanguard in New York. And it so happened that the two guys that created Mr. Peepers were in the audience.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, that's the guy. And that's how he got into show business, just because doing one night at the Village Vanguard. And they were looking for the lead for Mr. Peepers, and there he was. But he would make jewelry. You know, Wally could do anything. He hated the phone company. He could fix up your phone where you never had to pay a phone bill.
Mm-hmm.
He was so cute. Oh, I loved Wally. I loved Wally.
You mentioned that he was a master at wiring, and he can rejigger your phone so that you don't have to pay for long distance and all that. It made me wonder, Peter, if Wally were around today, what he would think and what he would do in the era of internet and
I have no idea, but it would certainly be interesting.
Yeah,
it was just an interesting, lovely, lovely, lovely man.
Yeah, and I understand. Yeah, as you just say, he was one of the most beloved cast members of the Hollywood Squares.
Yeah, he and Goebel, you know, George, I was very close to. I was doing nightclubs with Tommy. That's when I met George. And he was my neighbor in Encino, and we were like family. I loved George Goebel. Unfortunately, you can't find the book today, but it's on Kindle.
It is on Kindle.
It's on Kindle. It's called Backstage with the Original Hollywood Square.
And let me just tell you, it is a great read. Peter gives you stories about his own career and a lot of backstage stories about not only the stars who appeared on Hollywood Squares, but the people who made it possible. It really was a family on that show.
Yeah, the reviews on the night, this is the most definitive and the most enjoyable book ever written about television game shows. I got wonderful reviews, and I had a lot of fun writing it. People have been trying to get me to write my life story, and I said, you know, it's hard. It's very hard to sit and spend a couple of years. You're not going to make a lot of money to begin with. The only reason I might do it one day is for my grandkids, mm-hmm. my great-grandkids, you know, let them know what old grandpa did.
Well, plus you're still busy living your life and actively working, so it's like, you know, there are many more chapters for you to write as you continue to live your life.
Well, you know, I did on my 90th birthday, which was March 30th, they threw a party for me at the Haley Center in Beverly Hills. I thought maybe, you know, 30, 40 people would show up, my friend. 260 people showed up. And they had clips of me from early television. I had the first television show with Tommy in 1949 called Let There Be Stars on ABC.
Mm-hmm.
With we had the Neil Hefti Orchestra.
Yes.
We had singers. I mean, it was a night. And there I am, 23 years old. That they started with that, and then they showed clips from Manhattan Tower that I did on NBC in 1954, that Gordon Jenkins classic. Then they showed me singing with Dionne Warwick, singing with Dinah Shore. It was just things I had never seen, and it was a wonderful evening. And I didn't want it at all. I said, I don't want a party. leave me alone. But I'm so glad they did it, and I have so many good friends, and everybody showed up, and it was a fun evening.
Well, I know that the game show channel still occasionally shows classic episodes of the Hollywood Squares, the years that you hosted the show. And just speaking for myself, just again, learning a little bit about you, it'll be fun watching those shows again because you knew so many of those people who were, you know, like Rosemarie. And, I mean, you had worked with them one way or another. And so, you know, when you're asking them questions, it's like you're working with old friends.
Oh, sure. The original people were Wally, who I knew from New York, mm-hmm. and Rosemarie, who I've known all my life, and still talk. I call her all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, Maury Amsterdam, and I know Paul Lynn. You know, he did the original Bye Bye Birdie in New York.
Mm-hmm.
I did it in London, then I did it in Vegas, and he would come to Vegas because that was the New York cast in Vegas, except for Dick Van Dyke and Cheetah Rivera. I did it. The two leads were different. Elaine Dunn and myself.
Mm-hmm.
So I saw Paul do New Faces. So, but I was never close to Paul, but I knew him quite well. And so it was like family. I mean, Cliff Arquette I've known since I'm 18 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Charlie Weaver. So it was. These are all friends of mine.
Yeah,
for the most part.
Yeah, Buddy Hackett.
Just had a lot of fun. I never thought the show was going to be a hit. I thought it was 13 weeks. And I was going back to Broadway to do Breakfast at Tiffany's. Anyway, it's all worked out wonderfully well.
It has worked out wonderfully well. Final question for you, if I may. You mentioned your birth name is Pierre Lecoq. Because I follow Major League Baseball, I knew that your son played for Kansas City. But
and the Cubs.
Yeah, I didn't know about the. I didn't know he started off with the Cubs. So let me ask you the obvious question. Both the Cubs and Kansas City are doing very well this year. Do you pull for one or the other?
He pulls for the Cubs. He loves the Cubs. In fact, Pete just left last night. He's been with me for a week here on the desert, Malibu rather. And he and his girlfriend, Annie, they've just been with Laura and myself. He left last night. And Freddie Willard, you know Fred Willard.
Yes, Fred Willard, yes.
Yeah, Fred Willard and Mary, his wife, came over for dinner night before last. And Fred is a huge baseball buff. And all he wanted to know was about the Cubs. And Pete told some great stories. He loved the Cubs. Although he had his big years, actually, with
Kansas
Boyle.
City.
But he's really a Cubby.
Do you follow baseball? Do you pull for one or the other?
Of course. The Cubs are going to do it this year, I think.
Yeah.
I think they really are going to do it this year.
Yes, well, so far so good. Well, it has been an absolute joy to spend some time with you today, Peter Marshall. I hope one day...
Well, thank you.
I hope one day we'll have a chance to talk again.
All right.
Peter Marshall from a conversation that originally aired in July 2016 here on TV Confidential. Peter Marshall passed away Thursday, August 15th, 2024, at the age of 98. We were lucky enough to speak to Peter Marshall on two other occasions here on TV Confidential. Once in December 2017 when he paid tribute to his longtime friend, Rosemarie. And again in June 2018, when he celebrated the life and music of legendary singer Perry Como. We'll play both those conversations in their entirety as we continue our tribute to Peter Marshall in our second hour. We hope you stay tuned for that. In the meantime, take a quick time out. Then we'll bring you more TV Confidential right after this. One more item. Are you starting a company in an emerging market or developing something new? Do you have intellectual property but aren't sure how to protect it? Reach out to our friends at Tectonic Law. They offer rock-solid representation for groundbreaking industries who need help capturing and protecting their full portfolio of intellectual property and intangible assets, including trademark rights, brand assets, copyright rights, publicity rights, and privacy rights. Tectonic Law streamlines the complex intricacies of intellectual property and business law in easy-to-understand terms that will help you and your company form a concrete plan of action to secure and protect the value of your brand and your creative work product. Tectonic Law is licensed to practice throughout the state of California. They also practice before such tribunals as the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office and the Internet Corporation for assigned names and numbers. Go to tectoniclaw.com, tectoniclaw.com, to learn more about how Tectonic Law can help your business thrive. Tectoniclaw.com. Rock solid representation for groundbreaking industries.
This portion of TV Confidential is brought to us by our friends at Front Porch Realty, the community of realtors in the Northern Bay Area of California that is committed to finding the solution that is best for their clients. Whether you're a first-time home buyer or looking to sell or lease your property in Northern California, call Karen Strain at 415-886-7411 or visit frontporchrealtygroup.com. For more information on how they can help you.
If you're a fan of Mike Connors, if you're a fan of Maddox, be sure to check out Mike Connors, A Life of Integrity in Film and Television by Bill Taylor, an excellent new book that not only tells you everything you want to know about the life and career of Mike Connors, but captures the utter decency of Mike Connors, the person. Mike Connors, A Life of Integrity in Film and Television, available now wherever books are sold through our friends at Bear Manor Media. You can also find it Amazon.com, BarnesNoble.com, wherever books are sold online. Ed Robertson, welcoming you back to TV Confidential, radio talk show about television that this week is a radio talk show about Peter Marshall. Peter Marshall, master of the Hollywood squares and a man who left his mark one way or another on just about every form of entertainment for more than 80 years. Peter Marshall passed away Thursday, August 15th at the age of 98. Peter Marshall visited our program three times over the past few years, including a conversation that originally aired in June 2018. At the time Peter visited us that month, he was talking about a new special he had co-hosted with Nick Clooney about the life and music of legendary singer Perry Como. We mentioned that Perry was the son of the barber, and Peter mentioned that when he started his career, he was still cutting hair. As an homage to that, on the backdrop of the set where Peter and Nick host the show, there's the old barber pole. So it's just everything comes together.
Yeah, that was a nice set, wasn't it?
It was a very, very, very nice set.
Yeah, we shot that in Pittsburgh. There's a lovely studio there that TBS has. And, we do all our things. We go back to Pittsburgh to shoot most of them. Although we shot one out here, the first one that Nick and I worked together, we shot out here.
Well, for a minute, I thought you were going to say you shot that at your house, too, because you had...
No.
Well, I made you laugh. That's a good thing. Peter is also the narrator of Wait for Your Laugh, the documentary about Rose Marie that recently aired on MeTV and the Decades Network. And Wait for Your Laugh is also now available on DVD. Peter, since we last talked to you, your dear friend Rose Marie passed away. On behalf of all of our listeners, we are very sorry for your loss.
Well, it was interesting. We've been pals since the 40s. And she, of course, she was a regular on my show.
Mm-hmm.
And they put together her life story, and it's one of the most interesting. It was number one on Amazon, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
It's done wonderfully well. I don't travel anymore, to be frank with you. But I flew to New York to do publicity on it because I'm in it. I narrate the film,
mm-hmm.
and I'm just in Van Dyke is in it. But it's the story of her life. People don't know that at the age of five, she was the biggest star on radio, Baby Rosemary. She was at the radio what Shirley Temple was to movies. And then her dad was a gangster, and Al Capone worked for Al Capone. She opened the old Flamingo Hotel for Bugsy Siegel. Her life is so fantastic, and they captured all of it. And when I went to New York Times, New York Magazine, all of the critics loved it, raved about it. But you never know if it's going to work. Well, it worked wonderfully. But we did the premiere out here,
mm-hmm.
and she was there, and all of us, Tom Bergeron, who's a pal of mine,
mm-hmm.
who took over Squares for me,
mm-hmm.
He was there, and we hosted this thing, and she came in a wheelchair, and people stood up and loved it. It's a great film. And then about 4 or 5 days later, she got up and had some breakfast and said, I want to take a nap. And that was it. She never woke. So she had this, she was 94, 95.
Mm-hmm.
And she hadn't been well for a long time. She saw what a life she had. She saw it all captured on film. And then she saw the success of the film and all the rave reviews and then went to sleep. What a life, what a life, and what a wonderful woman.
What a wonderful way to go, when you think about it. Because
yeah, we all have to go. Not a bad way to go. Now, I just saw a film the other day you're going to hear about on Kay Ballard. They just did Kay Ballard's life.
Oh, really?
It's phenomenal. She's probably had the greatest career, but without becoming Carol Channing or or Ethel Merman. I mean, her life, she introduced so many hit songs like Fly Me to the Moon, Maybe This Time. It goes on and on. And they have all this film on her, which is phenomenal. And she's still with us, and she's my other pal. And you'll be hearing about that film. It's not finished yet. They're putting the finishing touches on it. And but that's the next big. What the heck? I can't.
Will that be coming out as part of the PBS series, or is that another venue?
I don't know. I don't. They don't have a distribution deal yet.
Okay.
But they will. They'll get one. Well, believe me. It's phenomenal.
I will definitely look forward to that. A couple more questions, if I can. Is there a song of Perry Como's that you either particularly like or that you may have performed in your act, well, Once Upon a Time?
That's a good song, by the way, Once Upon a Time. Once Upon a Time, yada, 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 gorgeous thing. Anyway, I guess with Como, it might be Till the End of Time, which is the title of the special, mm-hmm. which is apropos. And or it could be, you know, he did Temptation, which is an old You Came, I Was Alone. Yeah. It's hard to choose. With Dick Haynes, I could tell you, it's probably The More I See You, You'll Never Know, or I'm As Restless as a Willow. And but with Como, I think probably Temptation or Till the End of Time. Yeah.
Is there a Perry song that you play on your radio show or that gets
recorded? Oh, yeah, I play a lot of Como. But I don't do much. I'm trying to think, do I do any Como hits in my act? I don't think I do, actually. But I do a lot of Haynes. I do a lot of Sinatra, of course. I do a whole thing on Johnny Mercer.
Mm-hmm.
Called, you know, I love the whole medley on Mercer songs. I do a whole thing on I Miss Nat, the thing on Nat Cole.
Mm-hmm.
You know. Believe it or not, I still work. It's amazing. By age.
No, well, that's what keeps you young. And I got an email from a listener just last week, Peter, who heard the archive, the podcast of our last conversation, and he said, forget that you're just turned 92, 93. You sound as young and vibrant and fresh and energetic as you always have.
Well, thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much. I'm just one of the lucky guys.
Well, I think one of the reasons why you sound good and you stay in shape is because you stay active. And that's, as Dick Van Dyke has said, keeping moving and keeping active, that's half the battle.
Yeah, I see Dick socially every once in a while, and he's doing great. I think with me, it's my family. I have a great family. You know, I have four kids. I have 12 grandkids. I have 8 great-grandkids, but nieces and nephews. But the most important thing in my life is my wife.
Mm-hmm.
I've had this wonderful Lori in my life for 32 years, and I met her when she was just a kid.
Mm-hmm.
And I was this old guy. I was doing La Cage aux Folles in New York, and I met her. And there's a huge difference in age, but we're never apart, really. And I think having a partner that you adore and the love. See, love and adoring are two different things.
Mm-hmm.
You can adore somebody and not be in love with them.
Yeah.
But I not only adore her, I am in love with her. And she's my best pal in the world, and we do everything together. And I don't do anything without her. You know, she's just... So I think that's a big part of any relationship. And all the guys that live fairly long have wonderful wives.
Well, it is the Memorial Day holiday weekend as we are talking to Peter, and Peter mentioned his family. He's got grandchildren coming over. It's a very busy time. We are very grateful, Peter Marshall, that you spend part of your holiday weekend talking to us about Perry Como, and we look forward to our next conversation.
I tell you, Ed, in fact, you know what? My children are coming over tonight, but I'm entertaining Dick Haynes' son and grandson.
Oh, cool.
They are in town, and they're staying with us. They live in Florida, and his name is Sean Haynes, and his son is, and Dick's grandson is Anderson Haynes, and they are with me tonight, and so that's exciting. I don't know if you know this, but Dick was my brother-in-law at one time.
Yes.
Married to my sister, and Joanne, and so it's that familial thing again. I never lose contact with people I love.
Well. We love talking to you, and thank you again for spending part of your day with us.
My pleasure. Thank you. See you next time.
Peter Marshall from a conversation that originally aired in June 2018 here in TV Confidential. Peter Marshall passed away Thursday, August 15, 2024, at the age of 98. We mentioned that we interviewed Peter Marshall three times on TV Confidential, but he actually made a fourth appearance on our program. You might recall that in September 2019, we brought you remote coverage of a special tribute to Barbara Eden, hosted by the Hollywood Museum. TV Confidential was in the audience that night, and we played highlights of that evening for your listening enjoyment. Peter Marshall was not only one of the dignitaries who honored Barbara Eden that night, he brought the house down, as you're about to hear, as he shared some memories of Barbara Eden, Bill Daly, and Larry Hagman. Barbara Eden and Peter Marshall first met during production of the 1961 comedy Swingin' Along.
I have probably known Barbara longer than almost anybody here this evening, and I'll tell you the story. In 1959, I was part of a comedy scene, Tommy Noonan and Pete Marshall. And we were quite popular, and we did a motion picture at Fox called The Rookie. It cost $159,000 to do this film. Now, in 1959, the studio was in trouble, and the head of the studio, Buddy Adler, I think that was his name, he said, I don't know, know this, Pete, but your little picture kept this the studio open for a year because of Cleopatra, and they were selling off the thing. So we had another picture to do, and it was called, what the hell was it called? Swinging the Law. We did this film, and I met this young lady, and her name was Barbara Eden. And we have been friends ever since. And before I go, just one other thing. She did this series with two of the craziest people I ever knew in my entire life. How she put up with it? How many years did you do? 5 years with Larry Hagman and Bill Daly. Let me say, we're good buddies of mine, and I love them, and they were really talented, but they basically were nuts. Bill Daly, I don't know if you know this, was a wonderful writer. He wrote a wonderful play called Love and Youth that I did for many weeks in Vegas, and he was always pissed off at me because he didn't get the lead. And so
Peter Marshall passed away August 15, 2024, at the age Matt Robertson. Thank you so much for listening. Stay healthy. Stay safe. We'll talk to you next time on TV Confidential.
This portion of TV Confidential is brought to us by our friends at Front Porch Realty, the community of realtors in the Northern Bay area of California that is committed to finding the solution that is best for their clients. Whether you're a first-time home buyer or looking to sell or lease your property in Northern California, call Karen Strain at 415-886-7411. Or visit frontporchrealtygroup.com for more information on how they can help you.
If you're a fan of Mike Connors, if you're a fan of Mannix, be sure to check out Mike Connors, A Life of Integrity in Film and Television by Bill Taylor. An excellent new book that not only tells you everything you want to know about the life and career of Mike Connors, but captures the utter decency of Mike Connors, the person. Mike Connors, A Life of Integrity in Film and Television, available now wherever books are sold through our friends at Bear Manor Media. You can also find it Amazon.com, BarnesNoble.com, wherever books are sold online. One more item. If you're starting a company, particularly one that is in an emerging market, you know that averting any sort of legal dispute is crucial to your business plan. Our friends at Tectonic Law offer an array of services that can help you avoid and preempt future litigation while also developing and protecting your intellectual property and intangible assets. Tectonic Law serves the needs of a host of emerging industries throughout California and beyond, including industrial designers, beverage makers, artists, farmers, retail stores, and libraries. Go to tectoniclaw.com to learn more about how Tectonic Law can help your business thrive. Tectoniclaw.com, rock solid representation for groundbreaking industries.
Hi, this is Chuck Kenny, owner of Shasta Gas Propane. 27 years ago, my wife Judy and I started Shasta Gas with the help and under the direction of the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, we believe He is the owner and we are simply the managers. Through the years, we have received many offers from major national corporations to buy Shasta Gas, but our commitment has always been to be and remain locally owned and family operated. Our daughter Karen Wehunt and her husband Jason now manage the daily operations of Shasta Gas and Shasta Gas. Shasta Tanks, a new business we started a few years ago. We now have the third generation of family members working in the business. Sunshine Stevens, our granddaughter, and her husband Adam, and our grandson Jason. Our commitment and motto are still the same. Our customers are warm friends. To support locally owned family operated business, please call Shasta Gas Propane at 530-365-3793. That's 530-365-3793.
A Moment in History by KCNR Radio. The Potter's Cave is said to be among the finest in the United States.